The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
To all our video listeners who have tuned into our broadcast on this day, you are listening to an hour of empowerment with Charles Haywood Ellis III. We welcome your comments, discussions, questions, and feedback to enhance our talk show. For that purpose, you can reach out to Charles Ellis at www.charleshellisministries.org. You can also follow him on Facebook at facebook.com/Bishop Charles H. Ellis. Or reach out to him on Twitter at Bishop C-H-E, the number 3. And now, here's your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III.
Thank you, Trevis. It's good to be with you and all of our radio listeners on this great day. And I certainly hope that you had a great weekend. I'm excited about our show on today. And again, as Trevis said, we welcome all of your feedback, your comments, and your questions, and we'll certainly try to follow up with our guests at a later date and to make sure that we provide that response to you. If you want to reach out to us, again, you can reach out to us at charleshellisministries.org, or you can reach out to us on Twitter at Bishop C-H-E, the number 3, or you can reach out to us on Facebook at facebook.com/Bishop Charles H. Ellis. And again, I'm thankful for all of you who have tuned in. I ask you to call your friends, your relatives, your coworkers, and tell them to go on to voiceamerica.com and click on the Empowerment Channel, and they'll be able to be a part of this discussion on today as we plan to talk about the dichotomy of relationships. Are the effects of true love an oxymoron? We're very happy to have as our special guest sharing on today and providing some expertise information, the Honorable Richard B. Holleran, and also Dr. Kim Logan Nolan will join us a little later on in the program. We're so very happy for our guests and our first guest on today, Judge Richard B. Holleran. The Honorable Judge Richard B. Holleran has served on the bench since 1990 as a magistrate. And in 1994, he was appointed as the district judge for the 36th District Court of Detroit, Michigan. He was appointed to the bench by former Governor John Engler in 1998 as a judge of the Wayne County Circuit Court and was reelected to a fourth term in 2012 and currently serves in the Family Division. As a strong proponent of the laws creating personal protection orders, which are known as PPOs, Judge Holleran testified before the Michigan legislature encouraging the enactment of criminal laws establishing the crimes of domestic violence and stalking. He also serves as a member of the governor's task force to develop uniform standards for batterers intervention programs throughout the state and as a member of the Michigan Domestic Violence Prevention and Treatment Board. I want you to join me in welcoming our guest for today, the Honorable Judge Richard B. Holleran. Judge, it's good to have you on today.
It's good to be with you, Bishop. It's an honor to be with you, especially discussing this type of a topic.
Listen, it is a very important topic, and that's why I want to really jump right into the discussion on today. PPOs, personal protection orders, when did they really become prominent? Because it seems like I had never heard of a PPO, and now it is unfortunately one of the most memorable. And PPOs is something that everybody knows, and everybody knows exactly what it stands for. I'm at a loss for words, but unfortunately, it has become all too current and all too
unfortunately, familiar. It's become a real tool in dealing with abusive relationships. The laws were first passed in the mid-90s, but I think with a lot of publicity and, unfortunately, a lot of stories in the news, we've come to see them used more often. They're sometimes called civil protection orders. In Michigan, they're known as personal protection orders, and they're basically a court order that a person has to stay away from an individual where they've had a harassing or an abusive relationship there. And I think they've become an effective tool in helping to lessen the amount of domestic violence that goes on. But I really think they've become more known because we're, as a society, really stepping forward and saying we will no longer tolerate this type of behavior.
Let me ask you a question. I understand that there are three different types of PPOs, and let me ask you, from state to state, if you know, are these laws pretty much synonymous across the board, or from state to state, do they vary?
No, they vary a great deal, and I'll get into that in a moment. The three types, the basic types of personal protection orders we have in Michigan are people who are involved in a domestic relationship, which means either they've been married, have a child in common, had a dating relationship, members of the same household, or non-domestic, and these are protection orders that deal with somebody who's been harassing you, stalking you, that type of thing. We also have personal protection orders for juveniles. Minors under the age of 17, and those specifically have a different way of dealing with the situation. And we now luckily have sexual assault personal protection orders also to allow a victim of sexual assault to get an immediate protection order against the person who assaults them, especially if it's a stranger. In various states, we have variations of that. But in Michigan, the personal protection orders basically only order you to stay away from the individual, and there's criminal punishment if you violate that order. In other states, they help protect the victims of domestic abuse by awarding custody, awarding support, child support, maybe even awarding some sort of spousal support, and they go much further than the orders in Michigan. But under the U.S. Constitution, all personal protection orders or civil protection orders are honored in any state where an individual is found. So if you've been harassed in Michigan and you get a PPO and you move to Texas, our Michigan order will be enforced there. And likewise, if you get an order, say, in Virginia and you move here to Michigan, we will enforce the order from Virginia.
Great information, and I'm sure that our listeners will benefit from that greatly. Let me ask you this question. I believe that in two of the most prominent incidents that we have seen over the past year, that is in the National Football Association or National Football League with Ray Rice of the Baltimore Ravens and that episode that we saw of violence in that elevator. And then you have Adrian Peterson, who was formerly of the Minnesota Vikings, and we heard about the episode of abuse with his son. I don't believe that we've really ever seen publicly abuse in action as we did when the video footage from that elevator, Ray Rice and his fiance or girlfriend, you know, we've seen some of it on television, but we know that's acting. We've heard about it. I've seen people with scars or with black eyes, or we've seen photos. But to actually see that video, I think it was just shocking and just appalling to so many, even including myself. Do you think that that incident really escalated things?
I think you are exactly right in that, Bishop, because so many people are not abusive, and they can't imagine what it's like to be in an abusive relationship. And so I think we make excuses for other human beings, say, oh, that didn't really happen. But when you see it actually occur, then you understand, yes, it does. It happens more frequently than we would like to admit. And when you see it, you have to come to grips with that there are people who live with this all the time. And I think the public's awareness that these types of abusive relationships exist, and they may exist in the household next to you that you have no idea of, I think our awareness is what helps us move towards preventing future abusive behavior.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, because I believe that most society would think that PPOs are for women who are trying to evade abusing men, or women who are being stalked by men. What is the ratio or the percentage of women taking out PPOs against men, significant others or spouses, or vice versa, females?
Yeah, although we don't currently keep demographics because we want to be open to anyone coming in, right now I would say men comprise less than 20% of the petitioners for PPOs. I think many men are embarrassed to admit that they might be in an abusive relationship. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we only look at abuse if it's physical violence, as opposed to that it's emotional or any other type of
verbal
violence.
Sure.
But
sure.
We in the courts are open to any type of any individual coming in to get a personal protection order, though. But I think with the raising of awareness that abusive behavior can be psychological, not just necessarily physical, we will hopefully start changing the dynamics of how abusive relationships work.
Well, let me ask you, now that we have the same-sex dynamics going on in our community and in our world, are you seeing any increase of activity, PPOs, regarding same-sex relationships?
What I have seen over the last few years, as we've become more accepting of the fact that people are in same-sex relationships, is that there's less stigma for someone to come forward if they are in an abusive relationship and ask for a personal protection order. When I started doing this 15 years ago, if I saw maybe three or four or five a year, I would say that would be what I'd see. But now we see many more than that, and maybe three or four or five a month, because I think as a society we're accepting of the fact that people in same-sex relationships can also be in abusive relationships.
Wayne County probably would be consistent of, would you say, 3 to 5 million residents, or would it be more than that or less than
that? I think it's less than that. I think now, unfortunately, with the population decrease in Detroit, we're around 2 to 2.5 million.
All right. So with the 2.5 million population in the metropolis of Wayne County, give us on any given week, how many PPOs would be petitioned?
Probably about 40 to 50 per week. Probably close to 50 to 100 per week. I'm sorry, 50 to 100 per week.
So that's anywhere from 50 to 100.
50 to 100. So we have about 7,000.
2,500 to 5,200 per year.
Yeah,
then
I would say closer to the 5,200, because we have between 5 and 7,000 average for the last couple of years PPOs.
Wow. That is very significant. That is very significant. And
yes.
We're going to be having Dr. Kim Nolan on our show later on in this hour. And she is a relationship expert and a family therapist and counselor. And we're going to be talking about the dichotomy of relationships. Are the effects of true love an oxymoron? I guess it's hard to believe that somebody who could say in one season of your life that they love you so much could be a person that could turn out to be your worst nightmare. And we know that there are a lot of things that go into that. You have people with anger management issues. You have people that are bipolar. You have the mental instability and all of that. Would you say that that has significantly increased the nature of this unfortunate dichotomy?
No, really, I don't think the physical illness or mental illness plays into a lot of it.
Is that so?
Abusive behavior is really a learned behavior. You've seen it in your relationships at home and things like that. I love your title, The True Love as an Oxymoron, because so many of the people who are abusive proclaim that they're loving their partner when in reality they're not. Because as you know, Bishop, love is empowering. It's not disempowering, and abusive behavior is very disempowering. And so I think as we become more aware that we will not tolerate abusive behavior, more people come forward and say, I'm no longer going to live with this. I'm going to get away from this person who's abusing me. And I think that's really important to understand. It was very graphic to see the Ray Rice, the physical violence. But abusive behavior doesn't necessarily need to be physical. Right. If you're controlling, if you're telling the other person what to do, if you're emotionally belittling, if you're constantly putting them down, if you're keeping them away from their family, if you're doing all kinds of things to disempower your partner, that one is not true love and can be very abusive and controlling and might require you to use a personal protection order to get away from that abusive relationship. And I think as people are more and more understanding that they don't have to tolerate that behavior, as we as a society and as shows like this are doing, empower people to understand if I'm truly loved, I'm not supposed to be belittled. I'm not supposed to be controlled and pushed around. Then they come and they seek the help and the relief of the courts to get a personal protection order to help to get away from their abusive partner or the abuse that's going on in their life.
Sure. We've got a few minutes before we have to pay some bills and go to break. What would you say in terms of the nature of the PPOs? Is what you did for so many years and are continuing to be involved in, do you issue the PPO and then that just takes care of one part of it? Suppose someone issued a PPO on an individual. Could that individual now come to you, the same judge that issued the PPO, and say, Your Honor, listen, yes, you know, I am guilty of the things that are included in this order, and I want to get some help. What happens then? Is there any opportunity for that individual through this same system, or do they have to go to another court and deal with another judge in order to sign up for some programs or to
No,
get,
if you actually come to us and you want some suggestions, we have several programs. One of them is called Accountable Choices that we can refer you to get you help. But the way our system currently works, you are correct, and for the first 5 years when we had the personal protection order docket, I was the only judge doing it, and then we incorporated all the judges in the family division so that the 11 of us rotate through that docket. But a number of years ago, we created the Solution-Oriented Domestic Violence Prevention Court, which handles cases where there's a high possibility of lethality or lethal behavior. And in that one, we take a way more intensive approach to dealing with the petitioner, the survivor of domestic abuse, and the perpetrator, and we get them into counseling. And we work with them to change their behavior, knowing that most of the time, abusive behavior has been learned, and we want people to help unlearn that behavior to prevent future violence. So you can come here, and we will give you resources to help you do that. Or you can go to your pastor. So many pastors now understand this, and you can basically go and the pastors will help with counseling or get you into programs. And I think that's one of the beauties of awareness, is that we are working to try to prevent future violence.
And I would say that I'm always counseling individuals and asking them, you know, I feel it's better to get help in the church, seeing that I am a pastor and a bishop. You know, I try to share with people all the time. It's kind of better to get help inside the church as opposed to in the court. Listen, Judge, you've got to pay some bills, and I'm going to bring you back on the other side if you can hang on in here with us for a few minutes.
Yes, I can.
All right. Our guest on today is Judge Richard B. Holleran, and he is a judge of the Wayne County Circuit Court here in Wayne, Michigan. We're going to come right back after we pay some bills.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Grace and peace, my brothers and sisters. I'm Bishop Charles H. Ellis III, extending a special invitation to all senior pastors to join our exciting and expanding fellowship, Agape. This pastoral fellowship will provide a spiritual covering for you and connect you to the powerful anointing that God has placed upon our life. There are no yearly dues or fees aside from one initiation fee of $500. Remember that Agape is available to all senior pastors, regardless of denomination or reformation. Therefore, won't you begin this brand new year by aligning and enhancing your spiritual endeavors with Agape, a graceful association of pastors ecumenically? And I hope to hear from you real soon.
For information, visit theagape.net. That's theagape.net. Or call us at 313-543-6069. That's 313-543-6069. They are classics from Charles Haywood Ellis III. Illustrated sermons, that is, on-stage sermon dramas that bring the Bible to life before your eyes. Like the Whip, Hammer, and Cross.
Judge him, Pilate! Judge him! Crucify him! And with his stripes, we are healed!
And the Horrifying, To Hell and Back. Thousands worldwide have been touched, even transformed, by these amazing stage productions. Get the DVDs at charleshellisministries.org. And don't miss his hot-selling books, Wisdom for Life's Journey, and Things My Father Used to Say. Little treasure troves of wisdom and eye-opening insights that will take you to a new level of success. This and so much more is available at charleshellisministries.org.
We were always taught that a man is the head of the church.
And I believe that women have a place in my church.
That word scares me, a place.
I may be the first African-American governor of Michigan.
I'm not a person who thinks out the box. I'm a person who gets out the box.
The Preachers of Detroit with Charles Haywood Ellis III, keeping it oh so real in the Motor City. Watch it on the Oxygen Network, Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
To our show on today. This is an hour of empowerment. I am your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III. We're talking about the dichotomy of relationships. Is true love, or are the effects of true love, an oxymoron? We have as our special guest on today the Honorable Judge Richard B. Holleran of the Third Circuit District Court here in Wayne, Michigan. We certainly ask for your questions, your input, your discussions, your comments, and you can reach out to us on our website at charleshellisministries.org, or you can reach out to us on Twitter at Bishop C-H-E, the number 3, or you can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Charles H. Ellis. Again, facebook.com/Bishop Charles H. Ellis. And again, we've got Durrani here, we've got Trevis here, my sidekicks, and they are managing our social media and would love to respond back to you. Let us know that you're listening. I ask you to ask somebody to join in on the discussion on today as we talk about the dichotomy of relationship. They can do that by going online at voiceamerica.com. And then they will click on the Empowerment Channel, and you will see our show there. Just click on that icon, and you can tune in and hear the tremendous discussion that's going on today. Again, our guest on today is Judge Richard B. Holleran. Judge, you're still there?
Yes, I am.
I think we left off, Eamon, talking about some of the tremendous tools that are accessible to individuals who find themselves in domestic violence situations and incidents. Such as PPOs or personal protection orders. Going back to that discussion, let me just ask you, Seeing that Wayne County, I think we said, probably has a metropolis of about 2.5 million citizens. Do you all ever do any ratios compared to other urban counties in the country?
We pretty much compare, I would say, unfavorably with everybody. We pretty much have the same per population. It's not much different. I would say the higher metropolitan areas have, like New York City and what have you, have specialized domestic violence courts, much more intensive than we do here in Detroit. But the court we have, the Solution-Oriented Domestic Violence Court, is one of only two courts like it in the country, where we are working to prevent future violence as opposed to just punishing people from the past. But percentage-wise, I would say we're pretty much the same across the country. The United States has become very cognizant of the issues of domestic abuse, and I would say everyone has the opportunity to come forward and get out of an abusive relationship. You were asking me about how do you get a personal protection order earlier, and basically anybody can get a personal protection order from the circuit court in the county in which they live. All they need, or where they are, they don't even need to live there. All they need to do is go to the clerk's office in that county court, in the circuit court, and they'll fill out the application and be directed to the appropriate courtroom and the appropriate facility, because everyone is cognizant of how important these orders are. So whether you're in Oakland, Wayne, Macomb, Washtenaw, any county, if you go to your own circuit court, or if you go to the circuit court that's there, even if you don't live in that county, you can apply for a personal protection order.
Let me ask you this. Seeing that relationships, especially significant others or spouses, there's so much manipulation that goes on because emotions sometimes can be all over the place. How do you all wade through the fraudulent reports of abuse? Because, you know, somebody could get mad at somebody and want to hurt somebody. So
right.
They go and make up these things. So how do you determine, how do you wade through those to make sure that people are not being injured unjustly?
Right. I think, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because we've had so much exposure now to personal protection orders, that we can sense when somebody's doing this out of retaliation or when there's not a real factual basis. We listen to the individuals when they file or if a motion is filed to terminate the personal protection order. And we give them an ample opportunity to state their case, let us know what's going on. And all of us here, and I would say across the state, have gotten so experienced in this that it's the application for a personal protection order might be bogus. The facts might not be that, but I think most of the time, a vast majority of the time, we recognize when somebody's making up a story or exaggerating something. Many times we might err on the to be safe initially, but once we hear the full story, I would say we pretty much get it right 95% of the time.
All right, let's talk about your experience here in Wayne County. What could a person expect to receive from a personal protection order? And on the best example, how is it supposed to work?
Well, the best example, the way it works is you come in to the county clerk's office on the ninth floor. You're then immediately, after you fill out the application, sent up to the courtroom 1801, where the personal protection order is reviewed by the legal staff and then the judge in that courtroom. And if we find it that the behavior is egregious enough, we will issue the order immediately. If we have some questions about it, we may schedule a hearing, or if we immediately recognize that this is not a domestic abuse situation or even an abusive or harassing situation, we'll dismiss the petition and let the person appeal it. Once we issue the personal protection order, we provide them with information as to how to serve the other individual, and then we will then monitor for future behavior, anything that might happen, if there's an arrest or what have you, that will be brought back to us. If you qualify for the Solution-Oriented Domestic Violence Prevention Court, we will assign you a case manager who will then assist you in moving forward in that personal protection order or any other, or if there's a divorce or a child custody case, we will also bring that into the Solution-Oriented Domestic Violence Prevention Court.
All right, let's talk about worst case scenario. Let's talk about someone who has no respect for the law,
right.
Has no respect for the orders of the law or the petitionings. What does a person do in that case? In other words, somebody's not supposed to show up at your job. Someone
right.
is not supposed to show up at your home or at your child's school or whatever the case is. They show up. What does that person do?
Normally what will happen is that the police will be called, and when they see that there's a personal protection order in place, they will arrest the individual. That individual will then be brought in front of the court here in the circuit court. If it's behavior that they disappear from before the police show up, you can file what's called a show cause against that individual, and we will have to order them to come to court, and if they don't come to court, we'll order their arrest. My main concern, though, is somebody who is going to ignore the order and is so violent, and there may be some psychological things. Then we try to make sure that the individual who gets the personal protection order has what's called a safety plan. And we will put them in touch with domestic violence shelter people to help them to develop the safety plan as to what they need to do to get away physically if this person shows up and if anything future happens. And so we will take into account all the dynamics of what's going on with those individuals.
The dichotomy of relationships. Are the effects of true love an oxymoron? You've been hearing from Bishop Ellis and also our special guest, Judge Richard B. Hollerin of the Wayne County Third Circuit Court. You've been so very helpful helping us to understand domestic violence and the tools that are available to those who find themselves in these kinds of toxic relationships. Personal protection orders is one route. It's not the only route, but certainly it is one that is available to us, and not just here in Michigan, but in all states of this country. Thank you, Judge. You have been great, and I certainly hope that our viewers have enjoyed your conversation, and I thank you for joining us on today. God bless you.
God bless you, Bishop, and thank you so much for helping make your listeners and viewers aware of what's available to help them in these situations.
You have a great day. You're listening to An Hour of Empowerment with your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III. We're talking about the dichotomy of relationships. We're asking you to let those that you know, that you work with, your relatives, your friends, to join in on the conversation on today and hear the discussion, the dichotomy of relationships. They can reach out to us on Twitter at Bishop, C-H-E, the number 3. You can also reach out to us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Bishop Charles H. Ellis. You can also reach out to us on our website, charleshellisministries.org. We have a second guest, and I'm just happy to have my friend, my long-standing friend. She's probably the smartest person that I know. Very educated woman. She's a woman of God. She is a very learned individual, and I respect her so highly, the tremendous work that she and her husband is doing in family matters, in relationship matters. She is the author of 3 books, The Attitude Adjustment of the Christian Woman and Man, Friends in the Bedroom, but Strangers in Church, How Desire and Impulse Can Became Paralleled in the Act of Sin, and also a third of publication, Marriage, Living with the Unexplainable. I want you to welcome as our second guest in the discussion on today, The Dichotomy of Relationships, my good friend, Dr. Kim Logan Nolan. Glad to have you, Kim.
Oh, good afternoon, Bishop, my dear friend. Thank you for the opportunity. How have you been?
I have been doing well, and as you know, I've been busy as well as you have. It's been a long time since the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Michigan chapter, back in the late 80s, and I don't want to tell our age because we were babies
yes.
when we were working with Dr. Claude Young. So we're young adults now, but I am just so proud of the tremendous work that you and your husband are doing. I have referred individuals to you because relationships is more than just pray, God send me the right mate. You know, after he sends you the right mate, if he sent that person, then there's still some things you have to do. And I want to get right into the discussion on today because you have a wealth of knowledge. You have a wealth of experience. You have seen many different variations of relationships. Some good, need a little work. some toxic and absolutely mm-hmm. cannot remain in the same vein that they're in. What do you think about relationships today? I think about the songs of Motown back years ago, and we that grew up in Detroit, we grew up on the Motown sound. Mm-hmm. I remember a song that said, Kim, break up to make up. That's mm-hmm. all we do. First you mm-hmm. love me, then you hate me. That's a game for fools. And while we were listening to the melody, we were really not listening to the words. Somebody was probably talking or singing out of experience. How do you see relationships in this day and time?
Well, first of all, again, thank you, Bishop, for having me on the air. In my private practice now for 34 years, I see a diverse type and style of relationships. And it's not the pattern that we saw with our parents in generations past. People are defining their own relationship, and it's not, a lot of them are not based on the Word of God. It's what I feel that I need, and I'm making my own rules. And therefore, these rules are causing relationships to be toxic. A lot of the relationships that I see today in my counseling practice are don't have a plan. They are just in it for the moment, and they're not using wise wisdom, they're not using good sound judgment, and therefore it's leading to toxic relationships.
I find it hard to believe sometimes as I am counseling individuals that are preparing for marriage, and everyone is smiling. You know, I ask sometimes, you have any questions? Oh, no, we don't have any questions. I'm like, got to be some questions. There's got to be a million questions. So I try to lead them into discussions and lead them into questioning one another on various things, because sometimes my experience, Dr. Nolan, with counseling individuals has been sometimes people are so busy planning the perfect wedding.
Right.
That they don't really understand that the marriage is going to be an absolute nightmare. So I try to move them from what kind of cake or what color mm-hmm. the dresses are going to be or who's right. going to sing this song or that song mm-hmm. or what kind of food we're going to have at the reception to let's talk about living with somebody every day, going to bed and waking up and looking at somebody before they get themselves together. You know, the person you see on the job, they already have their hair done, they've got their makeup done.
Right.
So that's not necessarily the person that you're going to live with. So I try to move people into that kind of discussion.
Well, I think that, you know, that is wise wisdom, because right after the wedding, you know, the marriage begins. And what couples don't realize that it takes a risk, it takes a lot of work, it takes communication, stability. And what I find in counseling that a lot of my couples, they don't really understand each other. They don't know each other. And the one thing that I do when they come into counseling, I give them a standardized test. I give them the Myers-Briggs personality test. I try to help them understand, are you an A-type personality, B-type, see, Pastor, you are an A-type personality. I am an A-type personality. And so, therefore, we have to be careful if we're married to a B-type personality or
absolutely.
If you have two A-type personalities, strong, aggressive, take charge. But then you got B-type personalities who take a seat back, more passive, but
right,
you have to
right.
understand who you are married to. And a lot of individuals don't know who they are married to, let alone how do I get along with you. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I really had to see myself, and I took that standardized test, you know, and found out, I think, in another version of it, I was a D personality. So I'm a dominant personality. You know,
yes.
I don't like folk driving me. I like to drive. I like to
yes.
pick things. I like to pick the movie we go to see. I like to pick the vacation spot that we're going to visit. You know, so I am absolutely a D personality. Now, my wife has helped me to see that and helped me to be a different kind of pastor
mm-hmm.
with that type of personality, because everybody that I'm interfacing with is not a D personality.
That's correct.
So I've had to look at myself, and I found out that I could lessen my D and bring on some of those others so that I could get along with individuals a little bit better. Listen, Dr. Nolan, we've got to take a break, pay some bills. We're going to come back in just a few minutes. My guest on An Hour of Empowerment, our topic on today is the dichotomy of relationships, are true love effects oxymoronic? Our guest on today is Dr. Kim Logan Nolan. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
It's the ultimate story of love, and it's live on stage for one night only.
Well, that whipping that he took on that night was more spiritual than it ever was natural.
Come and experience the power, the passion, and the heart-gripping story of Jesus Christ as Greater Grace Temple presents The Whip, Hammer, and Cross. Live on stage, it's the greatest story ever told, and it's sure to be a night you'll never forget. It all takes place on Good Friday, April 3rd, 7 p.m. at Greater Grace Temple in Detroit. This one night is sure to change the rest of your life forever.
You can watch this unforgettable presentation live online. Just go to charleshellisministries.org and click on the Watch Us Live button. For more than a presentation, this is an experience.
This year, I'm getting mine to get my healing, to get my joy, to get my happiness, to shout yay!
And you can get the enlightenment and uplift you need from the Amazing Grace Telecast, the broadcast outreach of Greater Grace Temple in Detroit, with Senior Pastor Bishop Charles H. Ellis III. Join us daily, Saturday through Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, on the Word Network.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Welcome back to our show on today. An Hour of Empowerment. I am your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III. Our topic on today is the dichotomy of relationships. Are the effects of true love an oxymoron? We had earlier in the first half hour, the Honorable Judge Richard Holleran of the Wayne County Third Circuit Court here in Wayne County, Michigan, and he shared with us some of the tools that are available to those who find themselves in toxic relationships. Now our guest is Dr. Kim Logan Nolan, and she is a great individual. She is helping so many in relationships, both married relationships as well as coupled male and female significant other relationships, she and her husband Arthur. And I wanted her to share with you on today some of the effects and the signs of troubled relationships, maybe how we get do more on the first half as opposed to the second half. Sometimes we're trying to fix bad relationships as opposed to involving ourselves in good and healthy relationships. Dr. Nolan, you want to talk to us about that? What are some of the things we should look for in relationships? Because some kind of way, I've got to believe that many are getting it wrong from the outset.
A lot of individuals today are looking for people to make them happy. It is not my responsibility to make my spouse happy. It is my responsibility to make myself happy or find ways to find enjoyment. But what is crucial here is for me to complement your happiness, not pull you down, not tear you apart, not demoralize you, but to be an asset and not allow myself to change to become negative. A lot of individuals get with people, I love you, I need to be with you. Well, then you need to do this. Then you need to do that. Okay, I'll start smoking marijuana. I'll start going to the clubs. I'll start doing all these things that I know is against my grain because I want to be with this person. A person must look at themselves to be healthy first and what they expect from themselves, and then that will reflect in the relationship that they will have and the people that are drawn to them. You see, if you think poor, you'll be poor. If you think high about yourself, you will draw people who also feel the same way about you.
I love those statements. I love those statements, Dr. Nolan. You know, it is so true. I think that many broken individuals, instead of working on themselves, they reach out and try to find others to make them something or to give them some kind of value or some kind of self-worth. So I agree wholeheartedly with you. So many times you have brokenness and brokenness, it comes together and then it breeds more brokenness. You have needy and you have needy and they come together and they consummate neediness, you know, and I agree. I think that we have to work on ourselves, you know, prior to getting into relationships and make and just to make sure that we are as whole as we can be. Now, none of us are perfect. We're all striving for perfection. But I think there are some things we need to work on ourselves before we even engage in relationships. Can you talk about some of those things? Because it's happening early now. You know, I don't know in grade school, first through sixth grade, that we really had girlfriends. Probably maybe in junior high back in the day, the seventh, eighth, and ninth grade, maybe in the eighth grade, the ninth grade, we really start talking about having a girlfriend. You know, once we got 16, 17 years old, now you see 10, 11-year-olds, you know, that are trying to find somebody to be with, somebody to love them. Can you talk about some things that we can do and instill maybe in our youth today to put them on the path of productivity and career as opposed to the path of loving somebody or being loved by somebody?
I think it goes back to the family origin. I know it does. And what is projected today for our young people today. In our homes, we are not as spiritual as we need to be. We have two parents working two jobs because we have a two-income family. So we don't have the type of discipline. When I grew up, mom was at home, dad was at work. And so when you get home from school, you had your homework, dinner was on the table, chores being done, discipline was put in force. Dad comes through the door and things are in place. So we're not seeing that. We have a lot of broken homes today, fragmented homes, due to incarceration, due to substance abuse, due to the domestic violence. Homes are torn apart. So, yes, when we were growing up, ninth, tenth grade, we might have gotten a wink, a smile, because mom or dad was sitting on the front porch. I don't think so. Today, at 9, 10, cell phones, you know, we're not checking who our children are talking to. Social media is playing into it. What I see on television or what I see on BET or what I see here or there, I want to be like that. I want to dress like that. What happened to our young ladies who dress like young ladies? What happened to buttoning your, you know, you button your top up? We don't show our cleavage. We don't wear tight dresses. We wear dresses below our knee. We used to get checked before we left the house to go to school.
That
skirt is too short. Go back up and change. Matter of fact, bring it back down and let me throw it away. So we're not doing a double check on our value system and who is validating our children and our young people today. Who are they setting their standards? Because God said, I'll raise up a standard. But who standard are they reflecting or emulating today?
Well,
and that's what we need to address.
Sure, I will agree with you that it goes back to the home. I can remember, you know, the prom was something that you did in the 12th grade. It was something that, you know, you were, you know, a lot older than you were, of course, you know, in grade school or in junior high school, or we call it middle school now. You were at the end of high school. You were now preparing to go to college and to be out on your own, to have your own apartment that we called a dorm. And, you know, you got to participate in a prom. You got dressed up. You got dialed up as a young lady for a young man's date. As a young man, you got dappered for a young lady's date. Now I see, man, we're dressing our young ladies up and our young men for the opposite sex, you know, in at the end of the sixth grade for a dance and in middle school. And now, you know, here comes the makeup and here comes the attraction and the glamour presentation. And I just wonder, you know, what's the long term effect of that? Because as opposed to having the library on your mind, as opposed to having the study hall on your mind,
yes,
and preparing and carving out your future, your skill set, your education that is going to propel your lifestyle, you know, in life as an adult. You know, the concentration is on, I need to look so great for this person coming to pick me up. And when we start doing those things for 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds and you know, I mean, back, I almost said back in our day, you know, whenever I say back in that day, back in my day, I really started dating myself. So I got to figure out something else. A few years ago, you know, that was the 12th grade. It was absolutely the 12th grade, and you were getting ready now to leave high school, so you were going to another level in your life. I heard somebody say yesterday that the Bible talks about 70 and 80 years by reason of strength. So he likened it unto a football and basketball. He said you have, you know, God may give you 4 quarters to live, you know, and maybe the first year of your life through 20, that's the first quarter, and then 20 through 40, that's the second quarter. And 40 through 60, that's the third quarter. And if God blesses you 60 through 80, that's the fourth quarter. He may give you some overtime, but when you look at it like that, you know, we're trying to live out our lives in the first quarter. You know, prior to 20 years old, when you have no experience, you have no real upper education, you don't have anything to look back on, and really you're not able to make great decisions. How do we change this thing? Are there any programs? Are there any things that you're seeing or that you're involved in that can help us to try to help people to move into relationships at the time when we are a little more mature, a little more experienced and able to handle them as opposed to so early on in life? Maybe we can focus on some other things, career, sports, whatever.
One of the programs that we have at Kimlo Communications is called the Legacy of Love. And what we're asking individuals to do is help us to be able to empower our young people who come through our program to focus on the acceptance of who they are by education, through spirituality, being self-worth, valuing yourself, how you present. We teach them how to walk into a room, employability skills, how to learn a language. I teach them, you know, I have the sign language program, being able to utilize your skills, learning an instrument, being able, so I bring in different experts together, and we come together to help them develop. We want to bring back the cotillion ball. I remember the cotillion ball.
I remember
being able
that.
To walk in with my white gown, and my father escorted me in, and it was just amazing to see all the debutantes being honored throughout the city. When was the last time we had that? Well, we're bringing it back. Kimlo Communication, we're bringing it back. We're going to reach out throughout the whole community to be able to help train these young ladies for a whole year and young men, and then see them at the end of what they can become, making sure they have scholarships, making sure they're going to be in school. But not only that, Bishop, teaching them how to speak correctly, letting go of the yeah, the no, what up, though, but hello, how are you? It's good to meet you. You know, as long as you have known me, I put emphasis on in the importance of being able to market yourself, being
Absolutely.
Able to sell yourself as the commodity. You are the commodity. How are you going to get it from point A to point Z? You've got to do the work, and that's what we have to go back to, Pastor.
I certainly hope that you are enjoying our discussion on today. The dichotomy of relationships are the effects of true love and oxymoron, an hour of empowerment. I am your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III. Again, I've got Ronnie and Trevis here, my sidekicks, and they're monitoring our social media. And I certainly want you to reach out to us on at Bishop C-H-E, the number 3. That's Twitter. At Bishop C-H-E, the number 3. If you want to reach out to us on Facebook, facebook.com/Bishop Charles H. Ellis. Or if you want to reach out to us on our website, charleshellisministries.org. Our special guest on today, Dr. Kim Logan Nolan, who is a family therapist, a relationship expert. Dr. Nolan, talk real quickly. We've got a few minutes before we got to get out of here. Your book, 3 books, The Attitude Adjustment, marriage, living with the unexplainable, and friends in the bedroom but strangers in church. How can individuals pick up these publications?
They can give us a call at our office at 313-664-4900. That's 313-664-4900. And we also have another book called Refusing, a Direct Order. I'll be mailing it out to you tomorrow, Bishop, of how we have to look at ourselves and make the necessary changes to be successful.
Talk to me real briefly if you wanted to say one great thing about the attitude adjustment of the Christian man and woman. What would you say?
Be open to take a risk. Look at how you communicate, and you start with your attitude. Attitude will determine your latitude. It's an adjustment that we all need have to make. We all have to make that adjustment.
I want to thank you for joining us on today. Dr. Kim Logan Nolan, my friend over the years, woman of integrity, tremendous woman of God, and just an all-around great person. Thank you for joining us today on An Hour of Empowerment with your host, Charles Haywood Ellis III. Our discussion on today, the dichotomy of relationships, are the effects of true love an oxymoron? If you want to send some information out to Dr. Nolan, or if you want some more information about how to pick up her publications, you can reach out to us again by Twitter on Bishop C-H-E, the number 3. You can reach out to us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Bishop Charles H. Ellis, or reach out to us on our website, charleshellisministries.org. I certainly hope you've enjoyed the discussion and the topic on today. And for those of you in the Detroit metropolitan area, I want to remind you and to announce to you, especially to our new listening audience, we have a tremendous Passion Play production this coming Friday here at Greater Grace Temple. You can go on greatergrace.org, receive all the information. It's an illustrated sermon, which is a drama and sermon mixed together. The Whip, Hammer, and Cross. There are live animals, horses, donkeys, roosters, animal props, costuming, lights, cameras, action, children in the production. There's probably about 65 people in this production. It's absolutely free here at the City of David, Greater Grace Temple, at 7 Mile and Telegraph in the city of Detroit, Michigan. This Friday, April 3rd, 7 p.m., the doors open at 6. I want to thank you for listening in, and certainly remember that we love you to life, and we hope you have a great day and an even better week. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.